Hey, what's going on, guys? I was going to make myself throw up, and it really didn't come out. I thought it was going to come out like as fast as it came in, but it didn't. Just threw up a little bit of my cheeseburger right earlier. All right, cool. All right, if you guys have phones out, put them away, unless you're going to use them for the Bible, but I have to personally know you because I have to trust you. I'm just kidding. People be watching. Just keep each other accountable. That's what we have each other for. Amen? Amen? I said amen. So the person next to you is on the phone and is on Snapchat or some dumb app, then tell them to get off the phone right now. And if they don't listen, tell me and I'll personally tell them. Thanks, brother. Amen. Paul said, I've only won like 2 years in a row, but I've known Paul for like the last 8 years or 9 years, and I beat him at everything we do. So I think that's why it feels longer for him. Like, it's only been 2 years, brother. I've been losing to you for like the last 8 years. No, I love Paul so much. How many people love Paul? Paul's the reason. Hey, can you just turn me up a little bit so I don't yell? And then I'll put, Paul's the reason why I'm in this church. I met him at El Rancho High School when I was coaching basketball over there. And I went up to him because I knew he ran the little Dance for Christ. And I started playing guitar at the club with him, and we started our friendship. He introduced me to Pastor Drew, and it's a wrap from there. I remember I sat right here in the first row the first day I came, and the music was all right. It was real country, you know, and I really didn't like it at all. And but then Pastor Drew came up and spoke the word, and I was amazed by the way God used him in speaking. And Pastor Drew came up to me after. He's like all excited. He's like, "What do you think about our worship, brother?" And I said, "It was cool, brother." But inside, I really wanted to tell him, like, "Dude, your band sucked, brother." But God used that to insert me into this church. I started playing on this piano right here. And God really started teaching me about what humility was and what about and about like my pride issues that I still have, but are getting better. Amen. And started playing there. There's a bass player, a guitar player, a drummer, and Uncle Dickie that's with the Lord now. And eventually, some people started to leave because they didn't like the truth. Amen. And And this is where we're at today. So it's awesome. I never thought that this place would be the place that we would be hanging out. But God is doing big things in his church, amen? So don't let the enemy come and lie to you and deceive you that you don't belong here. This is your house, guys. This is your house. And if you have people that tell you, oh, that church is stupid, or that church, the pastors are this, you tell them to shut up and cash me outside, amen? But this is an awesome church. This is a really healthy church for you guys. And honestly, I'm grateful and I'm proud to call this my church. My whole family comes here. I'm so happy that my kids have a place where they could come and hang out. Andy loves coming to church. You know, we pass by this place. As soon as she sees Shaky, she says, "I want to go to church, Dad." And she already recognizes what the Hope Tower is and what this place represents for her. Amen. So continue that tradition for you and your family when you guys get married. This is going to be your church, and this is going to be a church for your kids. And maybe we're not going to be in this place, but I promise you, this place will be something cool. This place is not going to go to waste, amen? This will be a school. This will be a seminary school. Who knows? You know, this could probably be our parking lot for our Home Depot church we're going to have. I don't know what God has, amen? So, but just make sure that you stay plugged in and don't let the enemy come and lie to you. And that's what today's message is all about. So I want you guys to pay real close attention. This story, I was telling Joel in the back that this message was not specifically for anybody in this place. This message was specifically for me. And if you feel like, oh, he's talking about me, then God is talking about you. Because if you feel like you could connect to this message tonight, and you feel like this is personal and you feel like, oh, he's picking on me, God is picking on you today, amen? So don't ever feel like, oh, the preacher is speaking to me because he knows my situation or my circumstances. Trust me, I would not want to preach if I was just up here to throw rocks at people. I would rather just sit down and let someone else speak to me, amen? But this week, as I was reading the Bible and listening to different things, God really started to minister. I feel like really shaky because I feel like my sugar is like super high because I just killed that soda. It tasted real good, man. I just wanted to feel better, I just wanted a barf to feel like not bloated, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was fun. But I want to show you guys a quick video, and this video was introduced to me when I was, this is a long time ago. My dad showed me this video, and he spoke a message about, in Spanish, it's called suelta cacahuate, but it means let go of the peanut. So I want you guys to watch this video. It's pretty funny, but in reality, it's pretty sad if you put yourself in that shoes of this little creature you're going to see. And you're going to see how the enemy works. Amen? And you're going to see how stupid this creature is for not doing something really, really simple. And he gets caught up. Amen? All right, everybody say, don't get caught up. All right, watch this.
He laboriously drills a hole in a giant anteap when he is sure a baboon is watching him because he knows baboons are incurably inquisitive. Next, he puts some wild melon seeds into the hole and works them in so that they drop into a hollow. Then he saunters off, knowing the baboon is burning with curiosity. The baboon doesn't trust that human being at all, so he plays it cool. But he's dying to know what gives in that confounded hole. Finally, Mr. Inquisitive can't take it any longer. He's got to know what's in there. He reaches in, grabs a fistful, and now his hand's too big to come out. If he had the sense to drop the seed, he could free his hand. Now he lets go when it's too late.
It's funny. I think it's funny. I don't think it's sad. But, I mean, he sticks his hand in that hole, right? He grabs the seeds, and what does he have to do to get freed up? Just let go of the seeds, right? But he decides to hold on to it. And that's where his problems start. I don't know what happened to this guy. I want to think that he probably, they fed him, he got real fat, and then they ate him. That'd be, like, the best scenario for me, you know what I mean? But, I mean, maybe he just, like, got trained and he became that guy's best friend. I don't know. Just think of it like this. So that's what the devil does to us. He'll put something there. He'll create some little desire. He'll know what you like. And then he'll make a little hole and then he'll stick something in there. And then curiosity kills a cat. And we go over there like dummies and, oh, what's in here, you know? And then it feels like $100. I'm not going to let this go. And we're so focused on that. And then, boom, we get slaughtered. I don't know what your peanuts are tonight, but God does know what your peanuts are tonight. Amen? Tell the person next to you, God knows what your peanuts are. But the devil knows also. Tell them, but the devil knows also. I didn't give the scripture to my friends back there, but Romans 12:12. Everybody knows what Romans 12:12 is, right? It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect will of God." See, I'm not going to give you guys any points tonight. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit give you guys points, and you guys write as God ministers to you tonight. Amen. I'm not going to be super excited or preachy tonight. I feel like I need to really just look into you guys' eyes and speak to you guys as friends. Amen? Because I love all of you guys. Amen? See, God wants to speak to some of us tonight, that are in danger of aborting our destiny. I said, God wants to speak to some of us tonight, and I include myself in there, who are in danger of aborting our destiny. That's a big time. That's scary, guys. That's really, tell the person next to you, don't abort your destiny. We're going to read a story that a lot of you know, but I was reading it when I was on my way here. Every stop sign, I was reading the story, and I wasn't reading it while I was driving, I promise. But I've read this story hundreds of times, and I've been told this story since I've been a young kid, so please don't feel like, don't say, oh, I know this story already. I know the ins and outs. Let God speak to you something different about this story today, amen? I don't know about you guys, but I love music. I listen to songs. I could listen to the same song for like a million times. And like some songs get burned out, right? Who's burned out a song? Let it go, brother. I wasn't even referring to no song, brother. But there's certain songs, guys, that I listen to, and I hear different things. When I press play, I hear something different every time I play the song. I'll listen to like a violin, especially like with orchestra stuff or jazz stuff. I'll hear new things, and I enjoy that song even more because there's so much more richness in that song. That's the same thing about the Word of God. You could read it again and again and again, but you'll find something. The Holy Spirit will speak to you something specifically in that moment in time, and He'll teach you something that maybe you didn't see before. So just always like read the same stories, because God might have like a golden nugget that you might need at that time. Amen. So this story is in Judges, and it's the story of Samson. And I've referred to the story many times, even to you guys and in my personal life. But I know if I ask you guys, like, what's significant about Samson to you? Like, what do you think of when you think of Samson? Strength. What else? Hair. Hair, right? That's what I think of when I think of Samson. Oh, his hair, man. He got busted. They cut his hair, and then he lost his strength. Who thinks of hair all the time? See, but the thing is, not hair all the time, but when you think of Samson, you think about hair, right? That's weird if you think about hair all the time. And you know what? This story surfaced so weird this week because Andy loves trolls right now. And like everything is about trolls. Like she watches these dumb videos on, well, they're not dumb, but for me they are. But it's like this lady, this old grown woman, and she like plays with trolls all day, and she showers them and she cleans them. And she, have you guys seen those videos? And she's like, oh, hey, I'm Poppy. Oh, hey, I'm Diamond. Or hey, blah, blah. I know all their names because my daughter makes me watch it with her. I secretly wake up at night and watch trolls, right? So, no. But these trolls have these like this long hair. And like Andy and I play, like we comb the trolls' hair. And she showers them and she talks to them. She puts them to sleep. It's cute, you know what I mean? And if you guys have seen the movie, it's a pretty neat movie. Like these guys are really cool. Like they hug every hour. They're pretty like Christian. They hug every hour. They don't gossip on each other. They're just, like, happy all the time. And, oh, well, in 30 minutes, we're going to be singing and dancing. And then there's, like, the demons or whatever, like, the non-Christian guys. And they're called the Bergens. Yeah, the Bergens. And these guys are miserable. They're miserable. And so what happens is they discover that when they eat a troll, they feel, like, some happiness. So every year they eat trolls. I'm not going to tell you guys a movie. I'm not going to burn it for you guys. But anywho, This message came from a little girl playing with some trolls in hair, and they have really, really long hair, amen? And the Bible, if you read the Bible, like there's other references to hair, like John the Baptist, he wore camel's hair, and I was like tripping out, like, oh, he wore camel's hair. And this is what I wrote down. I wrote that see, is this a sign, or hair is a symbol of character? Everybody say character. See, our strength as believers does not lie on what we do, but who we are. See, hair is not like, hair is what we are. Like, it grows on us. Amen? It's not like, see, we're not defined by our style. We're not defined by how we dress or how we talk. We're defined by who we are. Amen? See, you could fit in with people at school and dress like punk rockers, dress emo. I don't know what styles they have now, but when I was going to school, they had skaters, they had rockers, they had like the jocks, they had metalheads, yeah. But in my time, they had these guys called, what do they call them? They had greasers too, but there's like a few. But there was like a cool, like, they slicked their hair back and they wore like tight jeans and like Doc Martens. Not hipsters. They were called, I don't know. But anywho, they were defined by the way they dress. But honestly, listen, guys, if you could dress a part, but it's not who you are. Have you ever dressed a part and like that's not who you really are? You're just dressing it because you want to fit in? I have. When I was younger, I did. You try to cut your hair a certain way. Everybody rocks like Converse, or everybody rocks like Nike Cortezes, and you try to fit in or whatever. But that's not who you are, amen? Who you are is who you are, amen? So, Samson was who he was because God had chosen him, amen? Just pay attention, second rule. Samson was who he was because God set him apart from him when he was a baby. Samson was a supernatural baby. His parents couldn't have kids. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and God promised them that they had a baby. And his mom was so like committed to God that she said, "I'll separate him for you." And she said, "I'll separate him to the point where he was going to be a Nazarite." If you guys don't know what a Nazarite is, I'll give you guys some scriptures there and you can read on them. But there is three rules for Nazarites. Anybody know the rules? What was number one? They couldn't drink. Tell the person next to you, you can't drink. Hopefully there's no drinkers here, because if you wanted to be a Nazarite, you're out of it. All right? And it's illegal. You guys are all under 21, most of you guys. What was number two? You couldn't cut your hair. Everybody say you couldn't cut your hair. And what was number three? Yes, brother. You're close. Paul. You can't go around anything dead. So you couldn't, everybody say, you couldn't drink, couldn't cut your hair, and you couldn't go around anything dead. All right? So check it out. I was tripping out too, like, the message of tonight is it's aborting your destiny because you did not let go. Aborting your destiny because you did not let go. Samson, guys, aborted his destiny because he could not let go. Samson's life is captured in three or four chapters. He could have had a whole book for himself, maybe two or three books. First Samson, second Samson, third Samson, I don't know. He only had three chapters written about him, three or four. I think 14, 15, 16, or 13, 14, 15, 16. Yet he aborted his mission, he aborted his plan, he aborted his purpose because he could not let go. See, there's some of us tonight that God wants to speak to, and maybe you've made some bad decisions in the last year or the last 3 years. And God wants to tell you, and just he wants to urge you tonight, that's it, stop it. Don't abort, don't lose everything that God has for you because you want to make some dumb decisions. See, we can make dumb decisions in who we date. I need a church that says amen or ouch or something. In my sermons, you could say amen or ouch. Those two words are good because that means that God is speaking to you. I'm looking at a group of a bunch of young people. Who's not married here? All right, who's married here? Who's married? Hey, guys. Hey, me too. That's my beautiful wife back there. See, See, we could abort. We could. I know so many young. And like I said, I'm talking to you guys from the bottom of my heart tonight. I'm not preaching to you guys. I'm just talking to you guys. I know so many friends that had such great plans, and they started dating the wrong girl, and their ministry went to. Amen or ouch, like I said. I had guys that were bad musicians. Like, they taught me how to play. And they were married to their beautiful wives. They had kids. And then they found a sidekick. And then they got that sidekick pregnant. And then they divorced. And then, big time. True story. Guys that were preaching the word of God, people that God was using in the prophetic and the healing ministries, and they started making bad decisions, and they aborted their plan early. My dad has some crazy stories of friends that he had. He says that one guy, he was like one of the youth leaders at the church. He got wrapped up with the wrong crowd. He ended up coming back to church full-blown that he was openly gay. He died of AIDS like at the age of 27. And this is not me bashing on gay people, because I love gay people. And my wife is my witness, one of my best friends. What's her name? Raquel. She's one of my best friends. She told me straight up, hey, I want you to be in my wedding. And I said, hey, listen, girl, you know I love you, but I can't be in your wedding, because you know what I stand for, and you know what God stands for. And God loves you. And she says, I thank you for telling me the truth. I still hang out with that girl. She comes over our house all the time. I love her to death. So this is not a sermon on me. God loves people. He hates sin. Amen? See, but Samson, with such a big plan that he had, being a Nazirite, having the strength of a crazy, crazy savage beast. No, not ouch. Like, I'm saying that in like a modern way, brother. Guy is savage and a beast. He did some crazy things. Like he killed a bunch of Philistines, like 50 of them, with just the bone of an animal, the jaw of a donkey or of a donkey, right? But check it out. We're gonna go over some things that he did. That he started to just like a little leaven, what? Leaven the whole loaf. He started making small decisions in a course of time. Yeah, little decisions, bad decisions in the course of time, amen? Yeah. See, he did not get into this situation when he's with everybody talks about, oh, like Delilah messed him up. No, she didn't. It didn't happen that one time. It happened because over time he had small compromises. He had small compromises over time. He made a little compromise here. Oh, nobody's going to find out. He made another little compromise here. Nobody's going to find out. And see, the thing is, God was with him all the time. Like, God was he had a plan for Samson. Samson was created to deliver the people of God from the hands of the enemies. That was his plan. If you guys did that, that's if you're going to take anything tonight, Samson's destiny was to save the people of God from being in captivity. But he made bad choices one at a time. Everybody say one at a time. We're going to go into some scripture. This is like a crazy story, so we'll just start off we'll start on chapter 14, brother. Everybody say, what's up, Peter? Hey, Peter is so cool. Peter was going to help me with my homework. I ended up dropping that class because I signed up for math and not philosophy. Like, I took a math class, and honestly, like, all the questions were, like, English questions and philosophy questions. So I was like, and it was, like, math for liberal arts. It was my last class to get my BA, dude. I had to drop it. Now I have to wait till the summer to take another class. I like numbers. I don't like words, you know what I mean? But seriously, it wasn't even, like, it had nothing to do... Peter, probably, you took that class? Well, he's a math major, guys. Woo! See, and the cool thing is that Peter went to, like, a a school that's known for English, and he said, I don't want no English. I want to be no poet. I want to be a mathematician. I want to be a math major. Yeah, he's a Whittier poet. Yeah, that's awesome. You guys know what president went to Whittier College? Richard Nixon, brothers and sisters. I was going to give that $5 to whoever answered that question. So, hey, but you didn't raise your hand, man. Yeah. No, Peter did it. Peter did it, so. Peter counts, man. Hey, Peter counts a lot, all right? No, I'm just kidding. When I was in the police academy, one of my buddies was like, there was these guys walking around with their flag, like a different class. And then I was like, look at those guys, think they're all bad, man. Look at them, they think they're all like salty. Like, you know, we're all haters sometimes, you know? And then my friend turns up, like he's like the biggest jokester. He's like, hey, Fernandez, they're people, man. They're people, they deserve respect. I was like, shut up, dude. Like, yeah, but he's a good friend of mine. Anywho, let's go to Judges chapter 14, yeah? Verse 1. So look, now Samson, so this is already like, he's been established as a Nazirite. He's already kind of older. Tell the person next to you, you better pay attention. Now Samson went down to Timnah. Everybody say Timnah. And saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So first of all, this is his first slip up right here. He already sees a girl. Everybody say he sees a girl she's not like from her kind. She's, you know, sometimes we say, hey, there's no cute girls at my church. There's never cute girls at my church. There's no cute Christian girls. Yes, there is, guys. Look at my wife back there. But hey, guys, don't be checking her out, all right? Verse 2. So he went up to his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as my wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no women among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised? So look, his parents are giving him good advice here, yeah? I said, his parents are giving him good advice here, yeah? Yeah? If you don't have parents that give you good advice, come to church and there's pastors and leaders that will give you good advice. Amen? So there's no excuse. Wow, I don't have parents that give me this kind of advice. Well, I'm giving you advice tonight. And Samson said to his father, instead of saying, yeah, you're right, dad. You're right, man. You know what? You're older than me. You have a wife. I should trust you. But look what he says. Get her for me, for she pleases me well. I want that girl. She's hot. I want that girl right now, Dad. I want her. I want her. Dad, I want her. Go to the next verse. Stay focused, guys. We're almost done. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. So see, God had a plan for this guy. For at the time, the Philistines had dominion over all of Israel. So look, Samson went down to Timnah. So we already see one slip up, right? Not listening to his parents. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, I've given this example before, but this is a big one. He was not supposed to be around what? Alcohol, right? What do they make alcohol out of? Or wine? Vineyards, grapes, right? So he's over there where he shouldn't be at. His parents are not with him. He's over here walking. Now look, not to his surprise. Everybody say surprise. Surprise. Come on, say it like you want to surprise me. Surprise. Oh, that's weak. Come on. Surprise. There you go. A young lion. Everybody say a young lion. See, when I was reading this today, I never caught this part. See, the thing is, the enemy doesn't come to you with like, it wasn't like an old toothless lion that came like, you know, it wasn't like Scarface. It was Mufasa himself came. You know what I mean? Oh, Scar. Hey, he had a scar on his face, brother. But anywho, like today when I was reading this, I never realized that. See, that the thing is, the devil will come to you with like young, appealing things that he doesn't come with like some old fashioned. He comes with like something fresh, baby fresh. Yeah, see, remember, good. See, he came to his surprise. Everybody says surprise. A young lion came roaring against him. Again, a young lion. Not this old. I just imagine like an old, toothless, like hairless. You know what's funny? Me and Chanel were laughing on Sunday because Pastor Drew was preaching. And then he said, what did he say? And he started walking like a leper, right? Like. He started walking like a leopard, but then he started walking like the hunchback. Like he was like trying to like illustrate like how a leopard walked. And it was so funny. Me and her were laughing. So I just thought of like this old, grimy, like, you know, like when you see those dogs that have like their hair is falling off and they're just, Mangy? Well, I don't know that, brother. Mangy? How do you say that in Spanish? Quién sabe? Yeah, that's a good one. But look, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. So he just grabbed him and, you know. The second time, second time that he starts slipping up, at least in the Bible, that the Bible records. I don't know if he slipped up before. I'm sure he did. Starts as he's a young adult. So he already did not listen to his parents. He's already walking over here. Some young lion comes out where he shouldn't be, right? He could have got smoked right there, but God had mercy on his life. See, God is long-suffering, guys. I say God is long-suffering. And check this out. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Why not? Man, they would have spanked him. Hey, what's up with you, man? You know you shouldn't be over there. Have you ever not told your parents something because you know they're going to get pissed off? Yes. Yeah? You come home all late and whatever. You know, but whatever. I'm sure you guys have done your little funny things. I know I have. There's things that my parents don't know about. I'm like just confessing to them now because I'm like, what are they going to do to me now? You know what I mean? Give me your keys. I got my own wife now. You know what I mean? But seriously, like me and my brother will sit with my mom and tell her of things we used to do. Like, hey, remember when you guys were working and we were like doing this and this and this? No, you weren't doing that. Mom, trust me. If Frenchie could talk, Frenchie's our dog. If French fry could talk, man, she would have burned us. You know? But see, Samson didn't tell his parents because he knew they were going to smoke him. Everybody say who's going to get smoked. Keep going. So second slip up, right? Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. He was like, let me see what I killed a couple weeks ago. I don't know what time it was, but it says that some time went by. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. What's rule number three, guys, for him? Huh? Anything dead. And now there's a dead carcass of a lion. He took some of it with his hands and went along eating. Honey, 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 honey. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them. And they also ate, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. That's crazy, huh? That's like three big ones right there. And we're going to leave it at that because I could go on forever and it's already 8:10. We're going to be done right now. See, this guy goes back in the place where he shouldn't have been. Knowingly, like his parents are probably over there. They don't know what's up. They just think this guy's just walking over here playing with dandelions and catching butterflies. But he's over here trying to find what he killed. And he knows that he knows. He knowingly goes over there and he goes and sees this thing and there's honey in there. How many times have we knowingly, and I'm going to speak about myself when I was younger, I knowingly get in the car with my friends, knowing that we're going to go to some club. Ouch. And we pass by the club, and we're like, oh, that one doesn't have a lot of people. It's going to be whack. Let's go to this one. Oh, that one's not going to have a lot of people. Let's go to this one. Oh, that one's packed, man. There's going to be a lot of girls in there. Close the doors. This is before I was married. Praise the Lord. Before, you know, go in there. We see all these honeys in there. We start dipping our hands in all these honeys. Go home. Listen. And don't be perverted about it. I'm not being perverted about it. I promise. I know we have some young people whose hormones are changing. You know? It's so perverted. It's not like that. I'm just being real with you guys. You go home and then your parents, oh, where'd you guys go? Oh, we went to the movies. Yeah, we played video games. We studied. And we could use this, guys. We could use this in all these different areas. These things are killers right here, too. Phones, computers. You're on your phone. You're in there. You know you're already set apart. You know you've been chosen. And you're in there wandering on things that you shouldn't be wandering on, boys or girls. I don't know. And you're watching things that you shouldn't be watching. You end up doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Hey, son, what were you doing? Oh, we're just playing. I was playing a game, Mom, a new game. It came out. Huh? Pokemon Go. Yeah, whatever. You get me, though? We could apply this to whatever area you want to apply it to. I'm just speaking about some major ones that always slime people left and right. And the dating one, guys, is a big one. And I'm just gonna speak to you guys on that for a little bit. Can I? You get into some crazy, like a okay dating relationship, and then either one or the other are super jealous. Has anybody been in a jealous relationship? Don't raise your hand. I know some of you guys are like, Don't raise your hand. Just give me your best face right now. See, but there's been times, because you've been chosen, there's been times that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you're able to overcome those things. But just because the Holy Spirit came on you 25, 26, 27 times, don't risk that the 28th time you'll be on some girl's lap whose name's Delilah, or his name is David, or Devon. Or demon, yeah. And they're cutting your hair and they're taking your strength. And they're plucking your eyes out. That's what happened to Samson, guys. This is what happened to Samson. Let me close the story and then we'll go back to the dating thing. They plucked his eyes out. They put him on this machine that was meant for an animal. And he was just pushing this thing round and round and round and round, grinding whatever was being grinded. Then they brought him out in front of everybody. And one last time, he prayed for grace and forgiveness or whatever he prayed for. And it says that there was a bunch of Philistines, a bunch of enemies laughing at him. And he was in the middle of everybody with no eyes. And he says he put his hands on the pillars and God gave him strength. And thousands of people died that day, including himself. See, his plan was to defeat all the enemies and to deliver God's people from them. He was only able to kill whatever people were. There were so many more Philistines after that. And the people of Israel still suffered. And they were still in captivity because this guy was disobedient. There's people that need to be delivered by your hands. And not by your hands, but by God's hands being used in your life. Don't abort God's plan because you're making stupid mistakes. Little ones. Here and there and there and there and there and there. Oh, God delivered me from this one. 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 I'm going to be straight. Oh, God delivered me from this one. Oops. I knocked her up. Now I'm going to have to get married or not. What? God, this is not the wife you had for me? This is not the wife you had for me, Lord? I thought you... Oh. the plan that he had for you to preach or to sing or to praise and to pray for people. Now you're over here taking care of 20 kids in a small house living with your parents. I'm giving you guys some true stories. I'm sure you know people like that. Oh, you're over here playing around with your friends, drinking, smoking this, smoking that. You smoke that one, and you're no longer you. You're like this other person because whatever you smoke jacked you up forever. Yeah. You know all those people in downtown in Skid Row who were normal people once, who were probably sitting in churches when they were young? And now they're walking around. Hey, birdie. Hey, this. You think that's what God had planned for them? Go walk around and go walk around and if you've never been to a jail, go take a tour in a jail. See all these people that are locked up doing life because they wanted to fit in. They made one bad choice, two bad choices. Now they're out there on the streets killing people or selling drugs or getting caught up, and now they're in jail for 15, 16, 20 years when they could have been reaching young people for Christ. Amen. God is speaking to some people tonight, including myself. Don't let those little mistakes, time after time after time after time, derail you from what God has for your life. Because God has a good plan for each and every one of you guys in this place. Even that person with the phone. Who's one out? No, just kidding. I'm telling you, Joel could have been somewhere else right now. Joel came to this church because of a young girl. Praise the Lord for that young girl. He had a choice. But listen, he loved God more than he loved that girl. He could have stayed with that girl and probably been somewhere else right now, not right here. Probably really smart at a university. Making a lot of money, but he decided to stay here and be rich spiritually. Amen. And build a kingdom. And you know what? And God is going to bless him, not only in his spiritual life, but in finances. I could speak about a lot of young people here. Chanel, my wife, she was one of the biggest partiers you've ever met. And I say this with confidence because she could speak to a lot of young girls. If you need somebody to talk to, go talk to that girl. Man, she knows a lot. Talking about a girl that used to go raving and drinking more than, she could drink more than me when I met her. Water, guys, water. But I remember it was hard for her to disconnect from her friends, like, because she was really close with all her friends. But we started to notice some things that the devil was using. I'm almost done. Because this is real. This is real talk, and some of you guys are going to really benefit from this. We started to really, all her friends are super sweet girls. But we started to identify how all her friends were fatherless. All of her friends. They grew up with no father in the household. And how the enemy somehow corrals all these girls and brings them together to be this crazy, like, group of party animals. She could tell you what they used to call them. D-A-B. Don't fill in the words, guys. Down, A-Bs. I'm telling you guys, being real. I don't act like, oh, my goodness, the preacher said that. But honestly, that's what the devil wanted for them because he wanted to kill them and destroy them. They could have probably drank their brains out one night and they could have all woken up dead or something. And I told her, now listen, give your life to the Lord. I remember she got baptized right here. And her life took a turn for the best. She's a mom now. She's the sweetest wife. She takes care of me like no other. And I'm telling you guys, I told her, like, your friends are going to reach out to you when they're, like, feeling like crap. And when they were, like, hungover, drunk, broken up, that their friends, boyfriends kicked them to the ground, who's the person that they would call? Her. See, your friends don't need another person to get drunk with. Your friends don't need another person to talk crap on other people and be a hater. You know, they don't need another a friend as a liar, another smoking pal. They need a friend that loves Jesus. Because trust me, when stuff hits a fan and people need something, they're gonna run to godly people. You guys are in a good place, guys. Every person in this place, you guys are in a good place. So make good decisions. Think of Samson. Read Samson's story, chapters 14, 15, 16. 13, 14, 15, 16, when you get home. And let the Holy Spirit minister to you guys. Amen? And guess what? I don't know, in 5, 6 years or next year, some of you guys, God is going to prepare you guys to be, speak. You don't have to speak up here. You have your whole school to speak to. You don't need a, this is just a place where, you know, we motivate each other. Maybe God is calling you up here. But the streets, that's the biggest stage you could ever preach to. People are dying out there by the thousands. And they need somebody to speak to them. Take some cards. I told Chanel, let's take a bunch of cards and just give them to, like, we're in and out. Hey, how weird is it for me with my little girl, have my little girl come up to somebody and give them a card? Hey, sir, we want to invite you to our church on Sunday. You think they're going to feel like weird? No, they're going to be like, how cute. Yeah, we want to come to your church. You know? I'll finish with this and we'll pray and then we'll be gone. We'll play. I saw a really crazy illustration today when I was watching YouTube. There's this preacher, this pastor, and he had a bowl of fishes, a little goldfish. And he starts talking about how these fishes are in their environment. They need water to breathe, right? And he goes like this. He grabs the fishes and he throws them. And a bunch of people from the crowd start running and they pick them up and they're putting them back in the bowl. But there's other people laughing, you know, and they're like tripping out, like shocked. But he made this illustration. Thank God for the people that had a heart and compassion to get up and save those fishes. And then he gets one fish that died. He said, look, this fish didn't make it. Because somebody was just sitting there in shock, laughing. That's the same thing that's happening with our people out there. We're watching them just flop around, not breathing spiritual oxygen that they need in this that we can provide for them in this church. And instead of us running out there, we're just sitting here because we're embarrassed of how we're going to look or how am I going to sound or how am I going to look if I run from back there over here. Who cares? Let's try to win as many people for Christ and fill this place up and tell people that there's hope. Amen? Amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you speak to us. I thank you, Lord, that you're calling people, Lord, young people in this church, Lord, to be ministers of your word. I thank you, Father, right now, Lord. I just want to ask you guys real quick. It's going to take 2 minutes. If God spoke to you tonight, just run up here and we're just going to pray together. Amen. Come on, just. If there's things that you have to make, decisions that you have to start making, if you say, hey, you know what, Isaac, I've made some bad decisions in the last couple years, in the last couple of weeks, but I want to start making the right decisions. Just hold somebody's hands who's next to you. Hold someone's hand. Everybody hold hands. Don't let nobody go with no hands, no hand being held. Hold somebody's hand right now. Everybody hold hands. And we're going to pray together. Amen. I know there's some people that still want to come up here. Come on, it's not too late. Don't be embarrassed. Come up here real quick. We want to pray with you. Come on, everybody. Even in the media team, you guys don't have to be back there. You guys could come up here and pray with us. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you. Everybody say, we thank you, Lord. Come on. We're waiting for some people to come up. Good, amen. Everybody lift up your hands or lift up your neighbor's hand, amen. Say, Lord, I thank you for second chances. Come on, say it like you mean it. I thank you, Lord, for second chances. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus that gave me that second chance. Father, I don't want to make silly mistakes anymore. I want to make good choices. Because good choices mean good life. And I want a good life, Lord. Come on, say, Lord, send me. Use me. Forgive me right now. If I've sinned against you, I pray that you forgive me. And I pray that you take my sin and you take it to the depth of the ocean And I know that you forget about it. And I will forget about it. Come on, this is a big one. I forgive. I forgive. Just like you forgave me, I'm forgiving people right now. Come on, say it like you mean it. I forgive people right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hey! Come on, kid, continue to give him a shout. Yay! All right, turn to five people and give them a hug, amen. Find some people and give them some hugs. Hey, we can play some music and just, hey, we have service on Sunday. We have service on Sunday. I almost fell. Praise you. Men's class is on Friday. Don't leave without giving somebody a hug, amen. Bump it, brother.